Isaiah chapter 9. We will be looking at verses, we'll read verses 6 and 7, but our time this morning will be focused in on just a portion of verse 6. Let me read that text to you. Isaiah writes, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." No doubt this verse, this passage is very popular this time of year. It's one of those Old Testament prophecies, no doubt, that gets paraded out just because it's the Christmas season, and it speaks much to the predictions, the prophecies that were concerning Christ Jesus, our Messiah, and so it should be brought out. It should be read. It should be lauded that because it does bring forth one of the best prophecies concerning Messiah. Reading this passage stirs up many thoughts in our minds, doesn't it? It questions such as, who will it be? Certainly from Isaiah's vantage point, his point in time, he didn't know. What will he be? What will his kingdom be like? How does this Messiah affect me? All these things can swirl around in our minds, and Isaiah had those questions as well. Our time today will unfortunately not be spent looking at the wonderful names and titles of Messiah, which we begin to find there in verse 6. We'll have to save that for another time. But my goal today, and I must put a caveat, a little footnote in here, that I went and looked to see if Brother Charles Spurgeon had ever preached on this passage, and he did, and it was Christmas Day, Sunday, December the 25th, 1859. So as Spurgeon focused in on this passage, and particularly two phrases 152 years ago, I want to focus our thoughts and direct us to two phrases that have immense importance to us. And I'll just add to that footnote, this isn't Charles Spurgeon's sermon, this is my sermon. I read just enough of his to get some seed thoughts and kind of take off from there. But I appreciate him so much, but not near as much as I appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. These two phrases given so long ago will speak to us about who Christ is and how we relate to Him. The first we find there in the very first line of verse 6. Read it with me if you would. For a child will be born to us. Isaiah speaks of a child being born to us. This is the same child, no doubt, that he wrote earlier in chapter 7, verse 14. When he said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." No doubt it's the same child. This is no doubt also the same child described later in chapter 11 as the shoot that will spring forth from the stem of Jesse. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. When Isaiah uses this phrase here in chapter 9, verse 6, born to us, what does that mean? Well, let's briefly consider that in just a couple of different ways, and no doubt there's more than this, but let's look at it through the eyes of his humanity as well as his lineage. That would be a couple of good things to ponder this morning as we focus on this child who is born to us. First is humanity. There's no doubt in your minds, I know those who are faithful to Christ, but even in the world's mind, there's no doubt, by and large, that this was a real birth. Christ Jesus was really born. There was a person who historically was born at that time with the name of Jesus. Even the world professes to acknowledge that. So that's not even on the table for argument's sake. He was real. He was real in every sense. Obviously, Mary's conception of the child by the Holy Spirit was unique. No other birth was like that. But from that point on, that child grew inside her womb. That child was fully flesh and blood, fully human in every sense, in every way. The Scripture goes on to describe the life of Christ in the Gospels, and it describes His humanity in the terms that it would describe any of you, of having feelings and emotions, of expressing words, of having thoughts, doing deeds, doing work, of suffering, of dying. What child is this? This is a child who is completely human and familiar with us in every way. He is born to us. So we see his humanity. But I have to also quickly add his lineage to this thought process that we've begun. Because Christ Jesus was not only human in every way, he was a special human with a purpose. He was a special human who was going to fulfill previous prophecies and words that pertain only to him. And so in his lineage, we only have to go to the next verse, as we read there in Isaiah 9:7, to see that this Messiah will be the head of his own government. That can't be said about you or me. That can't be said about hardly anyone. But he was going to have his own government. He also is in line to sit on his earthly descendant's throne, King David. The Lord made a prediction to King David so many years ago that one of his sons would sit on his throne and establish not just a kingdom, but an everlasting kingdom. What does that mean? It means a kingdom without end. What child is this? He is born to us to sit on David's throne, to fulfill God's promise to us. That's who this child is. I'm a bottom line kind of guy. I get too anxious for people to get to the point of what they're saying. You're probably like, yeah, we're kind of that way with you right now. But in a nutshell, in a bottom line, so to speak, you could say this. This one born to us is in so many ways like us. But in addition to this and being like us, he is so unlike us. For only he is completely qualified and capable to represent humanity to God. Who can represent us as a people? Who can be our head? Who can be our representative? Who is the only one qualified? May I suggest to you this morning, it is this Messiah. It is this Savior. It is this person, Jesus Christ, perfectly represents us to God. Isaiah didn't stop with just the news that a child would be born to us. No. He says the very next thing there in verse 6. He says this child is also given to us. In fact, he says a child is not only born to us, but a son is given to us. Ah, beloved, here is a special gift to consider this Christmas. Consider this. For not only is a child born to us, but a son is given to us. There's a world of difference there. What thoughts does that stir up in your mind? How about that this child is more than just a run-of-the-mill birth He is not just another child born into this world who will have to find his own way in this life, who will have to fight and scratch and claw to make something of himself. This child is different. He's a son. Whose son? He's not our son. And yet, in a very real way, he is our son. But he's someone else's son. Do you see it? This is someone's son who has been born to us, who has been given to us for a reason, for a purpose. You know, there'll be a lot of gift giving done this season, as usual. If you don't have all your gifts bought by today, I want to remind you there's only 6 shopping days left till Christmas. But gifts of all kinds will be given during this holiday season. There'll be expensive gifts. There will be those gifts that are not very expensive. There will be big gifts. And there will be small gifts. There will be thoughtful gifts. And there will be spur-of-the-moment gifts. I hope each of you can experience what it is to give and receive this holiday season. But beloved, there is a gift given for us that far outweighs any other gift you've ever been given. Its worth is too valuable to estimate. Its size is too big to measure. Its impact too deep to calculate. Why are these things so in Isaiah 6? A child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. Why? Beloved, it's because the giver of this precious, precious gift is God the Father. As Gabriel told Mary the news that changed humanity, he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Boy, doesn't that sound just like Isaiah that we just read? And when Gabriel told Mary that, he's saying, this is the one, this is the child that will be conceived in your womb who will save his people from their sins. Very simple words, words that don't need any really explanation as to what they individually mean. A child will be given to us. We see that. A son will be born to us, given to us. Let me ask you this. What are these things to us? What does that mean to you? As thoughts swirl in your head this morning about these two phrases, born to us and given to us, there must be application here. So let me ask you some questions. I'm sure some of the questions already that are formulating in your mind, how do these things affect me? How do these words of this dead prophet affect me today? Where am I in this picture? Am I a mere spectator, or am I a player in this so-called game? Has he been born for me? Is he given for me? Let me ask you this morning, if this child is born for us, then who are you? Are you not part of us? Aren't you a person of flesh and blood? Are you not a member of the human race? You know, if you answered yes to any of these questions, it should put it straight in your mind. If these things are so, then this child has been born for you. This child that Isaiah speaks of is not some distant child, some person who is separate from your life and apart from you, to whom you have no responsibility, you owe nothing to. Oh no. You see, this child has been born to you if you're a part of the human race. That means his life is applicable to all. We all come under the rod, so to speak, of this one person. The question is this: if this child has been born to you, have you been born again to him? Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, you must be born again, or you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Later on, he chose his words carefully as he told his disciples in Matthew chapter 18, truly I say to you, unless you're converted and become like this little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. The issue of being born again and conversion speaks to the need of every person's heart. They are not right before Almighty God. Sin has destroyed the relationship between God and man. But there's good news. Let me be quick to say, there is extremely good news. Jesus Christ has been born for us. Way of salvation has been made for you to receive pardon and forgiveness. But in order for that to be accomplished, you must be born again. He's been born for you. You need to be reborn, as it were, spiritually, to make that faith connection with Him. Let me ask you this. If this Son is given to us, then how about you? Have you given yourself to Him? I mean really given yourself to Him fully. You see, it's customary in every culture throughout human history that when a gift is given, it is only polite to reciprocate in some fashion, in some way, to acknowledge the gift. God the Father has given His Son to us. Have you acknowledged Christ? Do you serve Him with your whole heart? Even though you've been born again, are you still sluggish to rejoice in Him all the days of your life and to serve Him with gladness? Beloved, an immeasurable gift has been given to you. To you, a Son has been given. Oh, that you would serve Him with joy inexpressible and acknowledge Him by your repentance, your obedience, and your faithfulness. What child is this who lays to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring Him laud, the babe, the Son of Mary. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for turning our thoughts during this Christmas season to Christ Jesus our Lord. Christmas should be centered around Him because He is everything for this season and for the next, for this life and the next, for this moment and the next. Father, the passing of time only reaffirms in our minds that You are in control of all things, that You are seeing Your plan implemented in such a way that it will bring You the fullest glory. And You have made provision every step of the way for people to be drawn to You, to be converted, to repent, and to follow in faith. I pray that for each person here today. For Father, without You, without Your Spirit to draw us, to guide us, to show us Christ, to show us our sin, to show us His righteousness and His atoning death, burial, and resurrection, Father, we're hopeless. But with Christ, we have been given all things. Thank You for these here today. Thank You for words of testimony. We thank You for words of praise that we have sung. We thank you for the words of this prophet, Isaiah. But most of all, we thank you for the child who was born to us. Yes, the son that was given to us. Oh, may we not reject him, but may we embrace him with our whole heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.